younger look after a couple of days?
It's pretty good. A lot of good things on tape. It's I've never been a part of a kind of a rookie tryout camp that was with this many numbers. So I thought our staff did a real good job putting it together. I think it's a credit to those guys that we were able to, our ops department, we were able to handle the flights and the travel of the logistics of getting all those guys in here. And we've had two good days so far, and we're looking forward to finishing it off right tomorrow. And I think we're going to find some guys potentially out of this camp. If I had to decide today, there's a couple guys that we have some real good feelings about.
Mike, are you and the Browns aware that Dahl Logan's what's going on in that interview on ESPN in Arkansas?
Were we aware of it as an organization?
Before
certainly.
Going on there?
Yes.
Okay. Did he say anything out of line in that interview?
I don't know if I would use the phrase out of line. The story itself, the text message, absolutely did happen, because I in the draft room when I got it, I questioned Dal as to whether he made the text up himself in order to get us to turn the card in. But there were three players. I'm not going to go into the names. Johnny was one of them. There were three players that we had targeted after we picked that were potential high value guys for us that we felt that we were getting good value on. As the round continued to progress, one of the guys went. And then it was getting close to the Eagles pick, where we knew that there was a pretty good chance that we were going to be able to jump up and take that spot. And then the other player went, and we knew that there was quarterback was a position we were targeting, and that Johnny was our top quarterback on the board. And there was some excitement in the room building, because we felt we were close to getting him. So when Dal sent me the text that he wanted to come to Cleveland, I think it really added to the excitement in the room, and we were fired up to turn the card in.
Could you say whether or not you had to speak to Dahl after the interview became public?
Did I have to speak to him? Not really. I mean, he knew how it came off, and he wasn't in the draft room when there was. I think we were all excited because it was a situation that was our top-rated guy, and that we were going to get a chance to get him, and we knew that it was mutual, that he wanted to be here, and he and Dal had developed a relationship over the course of the workouts and the visits, and that was we see that as a positive.
Hey, Mike, based on your experience with the Tebow situation and Kyle with RG3 and what have you, what are your concerns about maybe the whole Johnny phenomenon overshadowing the Browns?
Well, it's a concern, and it's something that we have to address. But we're well aware of the persona. We're well aware of what it brings. We're excited about it. I mean, it's something that we were very willing to have come here, knowing that he has a chance to make us a better football team, better franchise. It's just something that we weren't going to turn away from. But as the head coach, I mean, it's all about football for me, and it's all about the team. And I know it already has, and it probably continued to do that. It will ruffle some feathers with how we handle some things, and I'll apologize in advance for that. But what we're tasked as a staff to do is do what's best for the football team. So if there's something that we feel that we can control that will limit the distractions that this will bring, then we're going to go ahead and do it. And it's something that's I know probably won't be the most popular thing, especially on a national level. But we also feel that the credibility of the Browns as far as what stock we have nationally, I don't think we're very highly thought of given the recent history of the team. So it's not something that we're really interested in playing to. We want to be in a situation where we want to kind of bunker in, build the best football team we can build, and worry about winning games in the fall. It's difficult in shorts, and it's very hard to evaluate just because you got a bunch of receivers that are in here that are just learning the system too, and it can be a precision passing attack at times, and it can get a little ragged when you have some guys potentially going the wrong way or not running the right route. So I think he's just concentrating now on just learning, as the other quarterbacks are, just learning the playbook, learning the formations, learning the footwork. He's really at the infant stages of his career here.
Mike, is there a fine line between
Well, he does, but I think it's a situation of I think Cleveland is hopeful, as we all are, that he will become Johnny Football here. That will continue, but it's as we've talked about, and the kid recognizes it, and he embraces it too. That he knows he hasn't completed a pass in the NFL, scored a touchdown in the NFL. So it's something that we don't want to rush it. I think this is a classic, you know, cart before the horse situation. That we want it to be that way over time. So I don't think it's a situation of where we're quelling it. But I just think that we want to temper it.
Just one more follow up to all this line of questioning. When you were with the Jets, did you ever write down or take mental notes of this is how I would handle a Tebow-like situation if I ever become a head coach?
I mean, I had a notebook that I would put random notes in, kind of tuck away. But I don't know if I ever physically wrote anything down. I just think it was more of just looking back on it and talking to some of the guys that were there with me, that, you know, how maybe we should have done some things different.
Mike, do you think about, a few months ago you were just defensive coordinator at Buffalo. The way you get hired, things change, and now you're going to be one of the more, I guess, looked at coaches too, just because you had Manziel. I was just thinking the process of what's happened in your life in the last few months, has that sunk in at all?
That's an interesting question. I just approach it the way I've approached it before. It's make a list in the morning of what do you want to get done that day, and I think when you sit back and try to soak it all in and wrap your brain around it, I think that might make it a little bit more difficult to deal with. So I just try to stay focused on, you know, task by task, item by item, yeah, that's true. But it's been a whirlwind, and it's slowed down. I think after the draft, it's sped back up a little bit. World started to turn a little bit faster. But I think it's ebb and flow, and I think things will get settled in and get in a routine here and get excited about finishing up through our OTAs and our camp and attacking things in training camp. Sorry, go ahead. He is, and that's part of it. I think that's, we talked about the it factor, and he's got it, but we also think that Brian has it as well. I think all NFL quarterbacks that have to have that swagger about them, that aura, that it's confidence but not cockiness, and it's a fine line. But when he steps on the field based on what he's done so far, and he's earned it, that people look at him a little bit differently and expect a little bit more. Well, I think you have to be able to see football differently, that you have to think outside of the box. And I think he proved it at Texas A&M, that he was able to put together ridiculous numbers in the SEC, that he really is an outside-of-the-mold type guy. And there's some quarterbacks in the NFL that have proven that they can be successful as 6 foot, 6'1" type guy. So I think it's a situation where we want a quarterback that can maximize our chances to win. Now, is he in the classic mold? He's not. But I think if you're creative and you can build the right team around him, you can be successful.
Do you want him to put on any weight or bulk up at all?
No, I don't think we ever want to do anything artificially like that. I think we'll get him here and get him on the nutrition program we have everybody else on, and get him in the weight room with Coach Ricci, and just let things happen naturally. We're going to sit. He's done some good things. We're going to sit down tonight as a staff and evaluate it and look at who we think that if we're potentially going to bring in an extra fullback or swap a guy out. And I know his name's high on the list of guys that we have thought highly of in these first two practices.
Got time for one last question, Tom Withers?
You had a talk with Johnny about, you know, act like a backup quarterback because that's what you are right now. How did he receive that? How did he respond?
Well, I think that came across that it was a kind of a talking down to or negative thing. I think if you just look at Johnny's comments from the beginning, that I just really reinforced that with him, that he is a guy that's where he is, and it is the cart before the horse type scenario, and he knows it, that if he wants to develop that there'll be Johnny football, but in the NFL, that he's got to earn it, and I think he knows that that's at the end of the tunnel for him, but he still has to travel through that tunnel.